The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Tuesday's racing on this edition. And you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 2:05 p.m. with Naz Premji, Rory Delaghi and Gary Capewell in the studio. It's Brighton and Hamilton in the afternoon, Stratford and Bath in the evening. And there's racing from Ireland as well on Tuesday evening from Goran Park. So five meetings to look forward to, plenty to tune in for. My name is Mark Walton though, and right now I'm joined in the studio by Mr. Sean Quinn. How are you, Sean?
Very, very well, Mark. Yourself?
Yes, good, thank you.
Good.
Yeah, we're going to take this opportunity to look back at some of the weekend action because a good weekend just passed.
Mm-hmm.
We'll do that using the Racing Post's Monday jury, and then we'll get Sean's selections for Tuesday as well. So just getting underway in the Monday jury, Sean. How would you campaign Australia for the rest of the year if he were yours?
Well, I think I'd much rather stick to the trip he's running at, or even drop him back to 10 furlongs rather than think about him going up in trips. So the likely next target would probably be a mile and a quarter race,
mm-hmm.
Either the Judmont International or the Irish Champion Stakes. You could take him both, of course, and we know that the Judmont International is a race which the Coolmore operation have run some of the better horses in,
yep,
in recent years. So I think that would make sense. And ultimately, the main aim would have to be the Arc, wouldn't it? To get him to the Arc, whilst he is a horse who doesn't want it very soft, that would be a slight worry if he got there. If it was an Arc run on good ground or better, then I'm sure he'd be very, very effective in that. And it's going to be fascinating to see him now clash against the older generations. We've,
yep,
seen him beat the best around at a mile and a half in his generation. But now he's got to step up again and take on the older horses, and I think it'll be fascinating when he does so.
Yeah, it should be exciting when he does so, because he looks to have plenty of potential. It's just whether he's better than the older horses yet. What do you make of him having? He's obviously had a couple of races quite quick together.
Mm.
Any discussion of him going towards the Eclipse? Would that be too soon for you now?
I think that might just come too soon, Mark. As you say, he's had sort of what, three races in the top table in the space of 2 months,
mm-hmm,
running the Guineas, of course, and then both Derbies. I'd love to see him in the Eclipse. As I say, I'd love to see him over 10 furlongs taking on the older horses, and I think this year's Eclipse might be quite a decent renewal, so we would get to see him test himself against the better older horses. But as you say, it might just come too soon.
Okay. Is the domination of 1 yard damaging the Irish Derby's prestige? Obviously, Aidan O'Brien winning, what is it now? Something like 8 of the last 9 renewals or something like that? He's,
yeah,
won loads of times anyway.
It's a race that he's farmed. And of course, he trained the 1-2-3 at the weekend. That's a feat which he's achieved in the past as well. I don't think it's the domination of 1 yard that's taking from the Irish Derby. I think it's the fact that the French horses tend not to come over for the race anymore. When you've got the Prix du Jockey Club, and you've also got the Grand Prix de Paris, that are suitable mile and a half targets, mm-hmm, over there for the French horses. Those races have tended to keep the French horses at home. And the British horses didn't go over. Kingston Hill would have added to the race, of course, but he didn't run in the end. Well, he was the best of British, so I don't think we can really blame Aidan O'Brien or John Magny or any part of that operation, or you know, feel disappointed. I think we should feel disappointed that there aren't more horses from other yards being pitched in. But then, if there are good opportunities elsewhere, particularly in their home countries, then, of course, they're always likely to stay there.
Mm. Yes. So do you think it's more a case of that there isn't too much strength in depth in Ireland at the trip?
Well, that's you know, very, very, very true, isn't it? There are very few yards that can compete with Aidan O'Brien's firepower, but particularly on a year-in, year-out basis. We've,
yeah,
seen the likes of Jim Bulger and John Ox have superstars and win the race. But whether they get one every year is a question. I'm not sure they would. Whereas, of course, we know Aidan O'Brien's a master at producing these horses, but he's also getting them in the first place, you know?
Yeah. Okay. Does Angel Gabriel or Suju shape like a possible Melbourne Cup winner?
You had to be very taken with Angel Gabriel, didn't you? The way he forged clear at Newcastle the other day. Is he good enough to be a Melbourne Cup winner? I don't know. He'll have to go on again, won't he? He's going to have his sights raised now, undoubtedly. I think Richard Fyfe will probably campaign him in a group race on the flat. I don't know where he might go. Just reading here in the paper, Marwan Kukash tweeted that the Ebor could be the target for both Angel Gabriel and Suju next up. Well, of course, he's going to face a fair hike in the weights. He's dropping down to 1.06. He's going to be taking on a better class of horse than the Ebor. So that will tell us an awful lot more about Angel Gabriel. For me, Suju, I don't think he is a Melbourne Cup horse. Angel Gabriel, the way he's improving, you couldn't rule it out, but he's going to need to continue his progression.
Yeah. Before the race on Saturday, he was rated £19 inferior to Mount Athos, who finished third in the race last year. So he has got a fair bit of improvement to find if he's going to go and win it, isn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. You do need a group race performer to win a Melbourne Cup. So Angel Gabriel's going to need to go on and prove that he is just that.
Mm-hmm. Interesting comments from Richard Fahey as well in the Monday jury. He says he obviously would like to go to the race, but he's got to get him there first. And he says he doesn't know about him winning it. So the trainers basically just said he'd like to go, but he's not sure he can win it. So interesting stuff. Who's your fancy to emerge as top trainer and top jockey in Britain?
I hadn't really thought too much about this, but the season's ticking away, isn't it?
We've
gone through a good chunk of it already. The talk of top trainers and jockeys is now emerging. And, of course, the two jockeys who are going to battle it out will be Ryan Moore and Richard Hughes.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan Moore's picking up a lot of good rides this year, isn't he, for a lot of stables?
Yep.
And I think he's got a bit of fire in his belly. So I think he's going to be a tougher rival to Richard Hughes than he might have been in recent years. That said, Richard Hughes, we know, will go all out at it. Ryan Moore's a character who would rather, say, go to America for a weekend to ride in three Grade 1 races than plug away at home in a bid for a jockey's title. So I think Ryan Moore will take it if it comes. But it's not the be-all and end-all for him.
Mm-hmm.
That said, I do think this year, the way he's going, he might take a bit of beating.
Yeah, he's in fine form. And I suppose the common perception is that Ryan Moore doesn't necessarily care about the champion jockey title as much as Richard Hughes, and that's why Hughes will win it if that's the case.
Yeah. I think it's just a case of Ryan Moore having his priorities elsewhere.
Yeah.
He said he wants to ride on the big scene. He wants to ride big race winners, and that is more important to him than the volume of winners that he rides. Whereas Richard Hughes probably doesn't get as many chances in the Group 1 races. He doesn't always pick up choice rides in, say, a Derby. This year he had a good ride in the Guineas, of course, but Ryan Moore would tend to get a better spread of Group 1 rides, which is maybe why he targets them, and Richard Hughes targets the number of winners.
Okay. As far as trainers concerned, John Gosden, the front runner at the moment, do you see him holding on to win the title?
Yeah, he's got an awful lot of nice horses, doesn't he, at the moment, John Gosden? You've got Eagle Top. The Fugue, of course, came back to her best at Ascot last week. Kingman looks to be the best three-year-old over a mile. Looks to be the best of his generation. So he's got a lot of nice horses, and he's just in front now, isn't he? So, again, like Ryan Moore, he might take a bit of pegging back, but that's it's not going to be easy for him to keep his lead because, of course, Richard Hannon has plenty of ammunition. Aidan O'Brien, well, we were talking about Australia earlier on in the piece. He's likely to visit Britain at least once, you'd say, along with a whole host of others from that powerful yard. So I don't think it's going to be simple, but given that he has an excellent crop this time around, John Gosden, I think he's the one they have to beat.
Mm. Yeah, Eagle Top looks a pretty strong candidate in the St. Ledger. He's got the Fugue favourite for the Eclipse and Kingman, wherever he decides to run him over
a
mile. So, yeah, strong hand. Who do you fancy in the Eclipse Stakes this Saturday?
Who do I fancy in the Eclipse? if the ground is quick, I think the Fugue is going to take an awful lot of beating. She won very, very well at Ascot, and we know that fast ground is imperative for her, but when she gets it, she's very, very good. And that was a good field she beat at Ascot, and she beat them in decent fashion. Kingston Hill, is he likely to head there?
He's in the betting at the moment.
Yeah.
But of course fast ground would be a problem.
Exactly. He'd, if it were to go the other way and we were to get rain, then he'd come into it. So yeah, if Kingston Hill were to turn up on softish ground, then he would be a player. But I think the way it looks at the moment, the ground is going to be right on the quicker side, and therefore the Fugue would be my selection. Knight of Thunder, I believe he's been confirmed, and his trainer Richard Hannan has stated that is his aim. So it'd be fascinating to see the Guineas winner turn up again. It promises to be a very good race, but I think the Fugue has enough in her armoury to win it.
Okay, here's the betting for anybody who wants to know it. The Fugue 7-4 favourite at the moment. Knight of Thunder 3-1, 5-1 for Verrazano. Walkerman 6-1, 10s for Kingston Hill, 12-1 for Mukadram. True Stories 14s, 16s for Trading Leather, and then 25-1 or bigger prices for the rest. Yeah, moving on to the final question in this week's Monday Jory. Sean, give us a horse or two away from the bright lights to have caught your eye.
A horse away from the bright lights to have caught your eye. Well, I'd probably be better to mention one of our own. A filly that won at Doncaster on Saturday evening. Many people will have missed her winning because it was a race that took place 5 minutes before the Derby, so all eyes will have been on the Derby over on Nicar. A filly called Poetic Verse, who James Millman's father actually used to have. We bought her at the back end of last year to go jumping. She ran three times over jumps, Mark, and she was placed on all three occasions, but she was over the top when we bought her, and she needed a break. She's come back from that break and looks very, very well. She showed a great attitude to win the other night at Doncaster. I think she'll win on the flat, but I'm looking forward to sending her back over jumps pretty shortly. I'd imagine a maiden hurdle should be a formality for her, so she's one who might do okay in summer jumps races in the coming months.
Okay, Poetic Verse then, keep an eye out for her going back over hurdles. Right, good stuff. That's the Monday Jury for another week then, and we'll now move on to Tuesday's racing.
William Hill Racing Radio. From the first race until the last, it's everything to give you the inside track.
Right then, on to Tuesday's racing. Sean's picked out three races at Hamilton for us, starting in the 215, which is a Class 5 maiden stakes for two-year-olds. It's over 6 furlongs, and four of them, of the six here, have had a run already. Sean, any of them attracting your attention here? Is it sure we can, probably with the best form so far?
Yes, sure we can is the horse with the best form, and he's going to be the selection here, Mark. He made his debut at Ayr 10 days ago, ran a really good race, just going down narrowly to a William Haggas trained horse who'd already had the benefit of a run. It didn't look a bad maiden on paper. There were horses representing some decent yards in that race, and I thought Sure We Can looked a surefire winner for next time out. So he's likely to be the favourite here, but with good reason. I was, as I say, I was taken with his first run, and I'd expect him to be winning on this second start. That said, Kevin Ryan has a horse called Pipe Bomb in the race, a horse owned by Qatar Racing. Jamie Spencer is up at Hamilton to ride this horse. And Pipe Bomb would be expected to improve on his debut, when which came just over a fortnight ago. He finished sixth on that occasion. I think he'll benefit for the experience that he gained. It was a decent run, and he's likely to prove the biggest danger to Sure We Can. But of course, Richard Farr, he's got a representative. Spring Offensive is a newcomer. Tony Hamilton takes the ride aboard Spring Offensive, and the money in the morning will tell us how strongly or not Spring Offensive might be fancy, but I think it'll take a very smart one to be beating Sure We Can first time up.
Okay, Sure We Can then, for last year's winning yard and jockey combination of Mark Johnston and Joe Fanning. Kevin Ryan won it the year before as well, so last two winners of the race going head-to-head there with the two more.
Yeah, two of the bigger northern two-year-old yards. They tend to dominate these maidens, and Hamilton has been a happy hunting ground for both Mark Johnston and Kevin Ryan, particularly with their two-year-olds.
Yeah. Okay, then, the 3:15 is the next race we're going to look at. This is a Class 5 handicap over a mile and a half for three-year-olds, and over eight of them in the lineup for this one. Sean, which ones are on the shortlist?
Well, Corson Ladd, the top weight, is of interest. He carries a £6 penalty. as a result of a win only 5 days ago. Keith Dalglish has booked the promising apprentice Kevin Stott to claim £5 off him, so to negate much of that penalty. If he turns up in the same sort of form this afternoon, then he'd have to be a player. King of Paradise is starting to slip to a mark which is making him more interesting. And of course, we know that he's very effective around Hamilton. He likes to get out, get on, and in the past, he's taken a little bit of pegging back when doing so. Another horse to show Hamilton form is Labaka Tours, but this horse is getting on a bit, 9 years of age now, and I question whether he would be good enough at this stage to beat some of his younger rivals. Alexander, Jim Goldie's horse, would have to be a player. But I think Courtland Ladd is the one they've got to beat. Keith Dalglish's horse will be the selection for me, and I'll take King of Paradise to chase him home, Mark.
Okay, Courtland Ladd then to win the 3:15. Sean's even going for the forecast with King of Paradise to follow home. And the final race we're going to look at is the 3:45 at Hamilton. This is a Class 3 condition stakes over 5 furlongs. And I suppose, barring Bix here, you could probably give the other four a pretty strong chance.
Yes, probably not the strongest of conditions races. There's no group class sprinter in the race, certainly not anymore. Of course, Tangerine Trees is a horse who's tasted success at the top table, but is 9 years of age now and isn't as good as he was. That said, he might still be good enough to take this. And of course, he has shown good form at Hamilton in the past. He's a course winner. Hopes and Dreams is another horse who's shown very, very good Hamilton form. This horse absolutely loves it here. Interestingly, though, all of Hopes and Dreams' wins have come over 6. He's quite quick enough to win over 5, I'm not so sure. Victory Laurel's a hard horse for us to work out. He's not running this country. He showed decent form in Italy, but that's very, very hard to evaluate. And Robert Cowell has fitted him with a visor. We'll just have to see. Sir Maximilian is a horse who only ran 3 days ago. He was in good form when winning at Chester's May meeting 2 starts back, and he's probably the most solid horse coming into this race. As I say, it's just a very, very hard race to get a grip on. I probably just put forward Sir Maximilian, but it's hard.
Mm.
You know, if Tangerine Trees bounce back and shows something like his old sparkle, then yes, he'd win this. Victory Laurel, as I say, is just very, very hard to work out. And Hopes and Dreams is probably running over a furlong, over a trip that's a furlong too short for him.
Yeah, fair enough. And so you're going to side with Sir Maximilian?
Yeah, tentatively.
Yeah, okay.
Sorry, I'm doing Hopes and Dreams and Injustice there as well. It is a filly, of course, not a colt.
Yeah, Sir Maximilian, 6th at the weekend at Newcastle. In a group 3, so this is
that was the chip chase, wasn't it?
Yeah, only beating 3 lengths, I suppose.
That was a good run, and obviously he's come out of the race in good form for them to turn him around again so quickly. But yeah, the chip chase was a far stronger race than this, wasn't it?
Mm. Okay, let's have a quick summary, Sean, if you'll spin us through your selections one more time.
No problem. 3 races at Hamilton we are looking at. The first is the 2:15, the 2-year-old maiden. I think Sure We Can is going to be very hard to beat in this race. He is the selection. The 3:15, I like Courtland Ladd. Keith Dalglish's horse was a winner last time out. And I think King of Paradise will run to form. I'll take him to follow him home. And in the 3:45, a tough little conditions race. We might only have 5 runners, but it's quite competitive. I'm going to go with Sir Maximilian, a winner at Chester on debut this season. And as you alluded to there, he finished a good 6th at the weekend in the chip chase at Newcastle. So he comes into the race in the best form, probably, out of all 5 runners.
Okay. Good stuff, Sean. Thank you very much. Enjoy it on Tuesday.
Cheers, Mark.
So there you go, the thoughts of Sean Quinn on Tuesday's racing at Hamilton. You'll hear it on Racing Radio from 2:05 p.m. We also have Brighton in the afternoon, Stratford and Bath in the evening, and evening racing from Goran Park over in Ireland as well. So 5 meetings to look forward to. Naz Premji, Rory Delaghi and Gary Capewell will be in the studio, so do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast, and enjoy Tuesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.